This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Big news, exciting news, at least for me, no LeBron to the Nuggets. It's official. He's not going to be a Denver Nugget. So we can put that to rest and move on with our lives. However, the Nuggets seem to be running it back, and that's also scary. So we'll get into it. The Rockies, man. They lost the series to the Dodgers. That was a hell of a series. Nothing to be mad at. Like, there's a different vibe going on with the Colorado Rockies. Mr. Lytle's going to join us. He doesn't think it's a big deal that the Pac-12's not having media days. He would know. He goes to all of them. We'll catch up with him a little bit later on. The whole show starts right now. That LeBron has, at least from Shams, the Nuggets are out of his list now. So he's still, you know, we're still waiting, still going to find out what those top teams are, Miami, Philadelphia, or go back to Cleveland, still up in the air, but not going to be a Denver Nugget, at least next season. Yes, Michael. Yes.
Does it upset you that they said no to the Nuggets before making an actual decision?
No, not at all. The quicker we can get done with this thing, like, do I feel slighted in any way? Should the Nuggets feel slighted that the Nuggets were quickly removed from his list before the other teams? Mm-mm. I'm telling you, it's just not one of those moves that I believe makes the Nuggets better. And I don't understand, you know, a lot of people saying he would be a good fit. And the things they are good at, he doesn't do, you know, as far as that three-point percentage and everything. And he's not really a defensive player at this point in his career. At one point, yeah. And the guy, when he buckles down, he can, and I think this is true for a lot of guys in the NBA. When you buckle down and you want to just say you're going to play tough nose defense, yeah, these guys have the ability to do it. But that's not going to be an every night thing. You get to the playoffs, does that change? Maybe. I never once said that it would make the Nuggets worse. I didn't think it would make them worse. I just don't know that it's the move. It would be worth the hassle to just be a playoff team again and probably lose in the first or second round. Is that the case for the Nuggets right now? They waive Jonas Valanciunas yesterday, and it's tough because this time last year, they traded Michael Porter Jr. with the idea that they could use that money to build the bench. Two of their primary bench guys are gone. Jonas was waived to save money, salary cap relief. And then Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, he chose elsewhere. I don't know how aggressive the Nuggets were in trying to keep him, but at this stage in the game, it's the Nuggets are running it back. They could re-sign Peyton Watson. That's still up in the air. We could see a sign and trade. But for the most part, this team is saying, hey, I mean, we should have known because Josh Kroenke told us as much in his postseason press conference that, hey, yeah, you know, we got to take calls for everybody other than Joker, but there's also a realistic possibility that we could run this thing back. And when he said that, I knew he was already setting us up for that. And that's not necessarily a terrible thing. You're just banking on the health of this roster. And that's a scary thing to bank on, especially when you're talking about Aaron Gordon, who is a significant player still. But when he's hobbled, it does you no good.
So basically, what you're saying is the Nuggets are just doing the same thing over and over again. And
expecting
last year's
trade
was all for naught.
It was salary cap relief.
But if they keep doing salary cap relief, are they ever going to come close, out of the first round of the playoffs?
Now that Tim Hardaway's gone and Valanciunas is gone, you're going to tell me, like, who's the bench? I think you would have been better off keeping Michael Porter Jr., which, again, the move last year, and I still maintain this, was a good move. Porter, good player. Not worth the money they signed him for. Which, that contract didn't allow you to fill up the bench. And now, you have a bench unit of Tyus Jones, Julian Strother, Spencer Jones, Marvin Bagley, who they did pick up. That's your group. Zeke Nagy's in there. Daron Holmes, does he make a step forward? He's working out in Denver with the Summer League guys, even though he's not in the Summer League. So I like that. He even said, I can't afford not to try to get better. I need to be here working. So I like his mindset, like his attitude. But you sacrificed, that two key bench guys are gone now. And I don't know what, are they going to re-sign? Is Bruce Brown coming back? Because I haven't really heard anything on that. It's all been about Peyton Watson, Jonas, and the idea that LeBron James might be a Nugget. So if this is what you're running it back with, I'd rather you have Michael Porter Jr. in his scoring over Cam Johnson. Now, again, I think Cam Johnson's a little better defensively. He's not that much worse of a shooter than MPJ. But based on what Porter was doing last year, compared to what Cam's doing, one could make the argument that you at least have a strong starting five. And then again, I agreed with the moves last year to bolster the bench. Well, all those moves that you made have now dissolved. So the trade that you worked on to move MPJ has caused this. It's looked like it caused, your depth to be much, much stronger, and now that's gone. So this team just seems like they're interested in salary dumping and running it back and putting all their faith in a Joker-led Nuggets team with the same guys over and over again. Everyone's moving. Everyone's making moves, or, like the Thunder and the Spurs, they're young still. The Nuggets are just not participating in anything. Now, I don't think LeBron was the move, but that was the only move we were talking about, except for Jaylen Brown. But they weren't, we read later, they weren't willing to part ways with Jamal Murray. And part of me's happy about that, part of me's not. Part of me was ready to rip the Band-Aid. Because you know where I am on Jamal. I root for the guy. I love watching him play. When he's hot, he's hot. But I stand by what I've said his entire career. Some nights he's great, some nights he's good, some nights he's average.
What does Michael Porter Jr., not Michael Porter Jr., I'm sorry, they traded him away.
They did.
What does Jamal Murray have to do for you to be happy with this roster the way it is?
Have another all-star caliber season, but also pair that with what we've come to know as playoff Murray. Most of the time, we see an up-and-down season, and then he turns it on in the playoffs, which there were some games he disappeared. But then, the question was, is he going to be able to bring it every year and hone his skill set so by the time you get to the playoffs, he's ready to go. He's sharp. And that was not the case, at least this last season, in one series against the Timberwolves. There is that part of me that says Jamal can still be that guy. But the I think the real – and that's the heart part of my thinking here, thinking with my heart. The logical part of my brain kind of tends to go to calling this what it is. Jamal is inconsistent.
I mean, it's the sample size is pretty big. You said he's 29?
Yeah. Yeah, late 20s for sure. 29. He's been in the league a while now, Mike. So, but again, last year was his best year. And do they reward the Kroenkes and the Nuggets front office for running it back, and you get a Jamal that's in the best shape of his life again like he was last year? I mean, that was always the knock on Jamal to start a season, was that, well, he doesn't always look like he's raring to go from the get-go. Last year was not that case. He was in the best shape. He looked good, and he had his best season. He averaged 25.4 points per game. That is huge. But then he didn't necessarily have a good playoff run against Minnesota in that first round.
What was he like before the injuries as opposed to after all the injuries?
I'd say about the same. He can go win you basketball games. He can put a team on his back and win you basketball games. He can also disappear, and you don't even know he's out there. And that's always been my I used to make that comparison. Who was it? This is an old Lakers player, Jones. And I said, you know, Jamal is very much like that Superman character. He goes into the phone booth, comes out as Superman, and he's awesome. But then he eventually just goes back to being Clark Kent. I think Jamal has the ability. When Jamal is at his best, he's as good as any point guard in the league.
Is he more Superman or more Clark Kent?
He's 50, it's 50-50, Mike. That's the roller coaster that you ride when being a Nuggets/Jamal Murray fan. Is you know that you're going to have those epic moments where it's Jamal hit a shot and he's got the Murray flurry, can't be stopped, fadeaways, everything. I've said it before, on his best nights, he kind of looks like Kobe Bryant. He kind of plays like Kobe Bryant. He has that effect, I should say. Not like they're extremely similar players, but he's still got that mid-range game, which is kind of a lost art for a lot of players in the league. But the frustrating part about Jamal is that he goes away. But that, hey, so far what we've seen, Denver's prepared to run it back. I shared the GIF, you know, in the South Park episode when Randy was, they were going to all the baseball games and he gets in the fight, the dad fight.
Isn't this America?
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't hear no bell. That's kind of what
when he's fighting Bat Dad.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about the Nuggets right now. They are Randy. Like, they got a lot of heart. We're rooting for them. We love the guys. We love Aaron Gordon. But they've been knocked around quite a bit since they won their championship, and they're getting up there. They're getting older, at least with the core, the three guys, with Joker, Gordon, and Murray. And obviously, the age thing hasn't touched Joker and didn't appear to touch Jamal, but Aaron Gordon, like, it's catching up to him. So, like I said, man, the part of me that likes these players, that is really loyal to these guys and loves these guys, loves to watch them, I should say, is happy that they're running it back. But deep down, the logical part of my brain's like, I just don't know if that's going to get it done. I don't know. 19 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk some Pac-12 and Colorado State. We're gearing up, man. It's July 9th. Soon enough, we'll be ready for football season. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
No parades.
No! No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Good tune, Mike.
You know what counts as classic rock now?
That's weird to me. I heard Tanner on Good Morning Oco the other day say the Red Hot Chili Peppers are a newer aged band. And I want to make fun of him, but we all kind of feel like that, you know? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't, like, to me, it still seems like yesterday that Chris Cornell left Soundgarden and formed Audioslave with the Rage Against the Machine band.
And that their first album was 2001?
Yeah, I was in high school. And that's been a while ago.
I was at Ames Community College. You know, it's kind of weird. It's the whole perspective thing. Like, to me, oldies are 50s and parts of the 60s. Classic rock is 60s, 70s, and some 80s.
But
after that, like, Soundgarden, I heard a Metallica song.
Yeah,
I heard a Metallica song right next to a Def Leppard song, and
yep.
I lost my crap because those two are not the same. You cannot put Master of Puppets next to a Def Leppard song.
They're oldies now, Mike. We're oldies.
And it's weird. Like, the 70s to me feels like so long ago.
Yeah.
Because I was born in the 80s, which feels more modern day.
And people that are in their 20s now think that the 90s was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. I was just thinking about that song when it, like, that came out when I was in junior high or high school.
Yeah.
Play it on the radio. All the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it still feels like a new song to me. I wasn't even 20.
It's depressing. It's depressing, Mike.
Yeah. I might have been like one third of my age when that came out.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man.
Math hard.
Hey, tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. Are you ready for it? You'll be producing, but, you know.
What am I ready for?
We got the big KFKA taking on the listeners and our first ever bout.
Us open.
Between us and listeners. We're going to start doing more stuff like this where we are challenging. We got a bunch of cocky dudes that run around here, Michael.
Not you and me. We're pretty level-headed.
Yeah, very, very much so. I don't talk any trash like about hot dog eating contests or sprints at Big City Roadhouse.
Yeah, you're pretty quiet about that.
We're going to be at Back 9 Timnath, a golf simulator.
You guys.
And Brian and I will be broadcasting this.
And I will be sitting here being co-host.
You know that I'm not like a big golf guy. I don't watch golf. I don't play golf. When I do, I'm not good. I have moments where I get a decent shot and then I think, I could be good at this. And then the next 20 shots, I'm skipping rocks. It makes me kind of want to keep playing when I get a good shot, but I don't know a ton about it. So this should be a really interesting broadcast. I'm going to be making up my own phrases tomorrow.
I think that if I took golf seriously, I would be the Tiger Woods of golf. Injured back,
wow.
Lots of girlfriends.
But that's it. Okay. Really? So if you were good at golf,
I wouldn't be able to play golf, but I would hurt myself.
You'd be the best golfer to ever do it if you played golf. So the listeners are, I know D Shribe's on in the mix. Doesn't have the names here. Where are the names? Near Broke's on there, one of our long-term listeners, Michael. He's been with the station for a while listening. And a couple other dudes. Like, I don't know the names. I got the pictures. I'm looking at the pictures. And our guys, it's going to be Bruce Dick, Coach Dick, host of Coach Speak.
He golfs.
He does. He's steady. He's pretty good. Tanner Schwint.
He has cows.
I think he's pretty good. He said he's pretty bad this year, so.
Oh, maybe he's trying to just come under the radar.
Maybe. He's done that before.
Surprise everybody with, like, a bunch of hole-in-ones.
We got Mike dancing with himself, who is still a pretty damn good athlete. And
Doesn't he work for a golf course or something?
Yeah, so he'll be good. He's a golf guy. And then, we got the ringer. We got the dude down the hall, Derbs. He's our pride and joy around here. He's our special boy. And he's got to show up. for us. He's got to show up. This is big. I'm not in it, but I want to be 1-0 in this. I want KFKA to destroy all takers, all competitors. I want us to be 1-0 tomorrow, after tomorrow. And then we figure out the next challenge that we will challenge listeners. And it might be more golf stuff. I don't know. But Back Nine, Timnath, we really appreciate them. I'm excited to see this. I've been there before, but I haven't seen the simulators in action. So tomorrow we're going to get a good glimpse of what Back Nine's all about.
Are you and Brian going to play a little Back Nine before the show?
No, I'll be setting up.
I think you should. I think you should start a little bit of have back golf nine clubs. Just so you can say the back
Michael,
nine is the greatest.
I don't have golf clubs. Like, this is why I've golfed like 7 times in my life. And so people are like, why don't you own golf clubs? That's a lot of money. I got to justify it. If I golf more than like 5 times in a summer, then I will golf. I'll buy some golf clubs. But I borrow Tanner's brother's golf clubs every time we go, and I'm pretty sure those are like his bad clubs, his backup clubs.
Yeah, it's the club's fault,
It's probably the club's fault. It probably is.
You're not hitting par, so the clubs are clearly to blame.
Yeah, I think the clubs are to blame.
I think, you know what we need? We need a Happy Gilmore type of competition. Who can Happy Gilmore it?
You mean like a drive, long drive contest?
See if you can get it on the green and then miss all your putts.
He finally figured it out, though, once he got the putter. Once he got the hockey stick
putter.
By doing
the exact opposite of what you're supposed to be doing.
You know, he made it work, though. They made 2 movies about it. Those are as good as documentaries as you can get.
Well, the first one was good. The second one was the same movie. The second one was one gigantic Easter egg. Hey, you guys remember when this one happened in the first movie? It's happening again, or that guy's son is doing this.
I still haven't seen it.
You shouldn't.
I kind of want to.
There are a couple of funny moments towards the beginning because he's not good at golf anymore. Because, you know, some tragedy happened in his life. But it overall is very predictable.
Well, I'll check it out at some point. 29 minutes after the hour, there is one reporter that is not concerned at all that the Pac-12's not holding media days. He'll give us his reason behind that thinking coming up. Kevin Lytle from the Colorado. We'll talk some Colorado State Rams, too. And kind of get a glimpse into what this new Pac-12 is going to look like. He'll join us next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The Pac-12, I mean, this is the summertime, so we're getting, you know, Big 12 does theirs really early. We got media days and all that leading up to the season. The Pac-12, as we've talked about, has decided, it's not for us. We're not going to do it. Not going to mess with it. I'm kind of a little bit of like neither here nor there, but thought it would have been interesting this first year for the Pac-12 to at least do it this year. But, we'll get Kevin Lytle's thoughts on it. Kevin Lytle of the Colorado. Who would know better than Kevin, who's been to a million of these things? Kevin, you don't really think it's that big of a deal that the Pac-12's not doing a media day thing this summer?
No, I mean, the league's done. They might as well just close it up. didn't do media days. This whole relaunch, just total fail. It's all over. You didn't have a media day, which is the most important thing in the world. No, it's funny. It's kind of, honestly, it became a bigger thing than I thought it would, to be very frank. You started seeing a bunch of tweets and everything of everyone one way or another getting all mad. And I was like, who are these media day fanboys? Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. You know, I, like you say, I've been at these. There's some usefulness to them. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's a total waste of time. But I also don't think it's a huge deal. And everything the Pac-12 kind of needs to get attention-wise, if you will, for, you know, year one, or okay, year one of the new version, I think they can get in other ways. Now, we'll see what they do. I kind of mentioned a few things that, you know, if this or that doesn't happen, maybe they did miss. But just not doing media days, I think, is fine. Yeah, you get a few of these kind of mocking tweets. You know, it was probably a misstep from the whoever it was to VP or some whatever, whoever it was that said, you know, it was cost cutting. Even if it is, maybe don't say that publicly.
Yeah,
that's not a great line to say. But also, it's kind of funny. It's like, so what if it is? Like, if you're a program, would you rather, you know, the conference spend the money to fly everyone to Vegas or spend it on, you know, something that can help on the field? So, no, I just don't think it's a big deal. Like I say, I'm very intrigued by what they do to kind of build up steam of attention, but just not having your traditional media day, I think it's fine. I mean, usually when I've been at them, I sit there thinking, you know, who is this for? Like, is this a good use of time? And usually I lean toward no.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, again, not having gone to any of these in the past, I do, you know, from reporters like yourself, you know, you pick up little tidbits here and there. A lot of that stuff, though, I know you noted the Jay Norvell story, you know, where he's calling out specific players and such. I mean, Kevin, I've already got that information from you, so I get that. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're just doubling down on it. That's fascinating. You got Coach Prime saying, you know, hey, we're going to be good. You know, don't worry. We're going to be good. Occasionally, you get little nuggets that are dropped, and it's kind of interesting. But for the most part, is it like a necessity? Do we have to have it? No.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that was always the best part, is you get these coaches in a, you know, from my perspective, you get them in a little bit more relaxed environment. They're not as, you know, kind of wound up as, you know, if it's a practice or a normal press conference or whatever. I mean, Jay Norvell, you know, we all know he was a pretty just kind of normal guy. 1 year, we all just sat in the lunchroom eating lunch together and, you know, just kind of, you know, talking about whatever. I think we're talking about cars at one point. You know, so that part is nice. You can build, you know, a little bit more of a human relationship than a work relationship. But again, like when you balance, like what are the benefits and what are the downfalls, I just don't think it's a huge deal, to not do it.
Like, yeah.
Like I say, there are parts of it I wouldn't mind the ability to sit there and, you know, like I say, a more casual setting, either talk to Jim Moore or, you know, maybe some of these players, because obviously most of the CSU players don't know very well because there are so many of them that are new. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind any of that. But do I think it's vital to have that for the league? No, I just don't.
I think, yeah, that's the difference there. Would it have been, I mean, do the optics look strange? It's the recharge of the Pac-12, and you're not going to have it. There might be a lot of questions. But again, if you're following along with the story, we've asked everything. We've asked about, you know, media stuff, the new teams that are in. So I'm kind of torn, but you said it. It's not vital. And that's why in a month it won't matter.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. Like, sure, you get some tweets right now or whatever, like, oh, LOL, look at the Pac, you know, poor Pac-12 can't even pay for media days. It's like, whatever, yeah, those will be gone. The Pac-12's national attention and view of their brand, to be very frank, is going to come down to what they do on the field this fall. You know, that's going to be their first real chance to build national or to sway national perception about the league. If, you know, the Pac-12 teams go win some big non-conference games, certainly if the Pac-12 gets a team in the playoff, that's where you win. That's what matters. You know, if whomever wins the league is in the playoff in December, no one's going to be sitting there saying, well, yeah, but they didn't have media days, guys.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, this season is going to be so interesting. I've said this a lot too. Like, even if CSU wasn't in this new Pac-12, the idea behind this conference reemerging to me is one of the more interesting stories in all of college football.
Yeah, it's super fascinating just because I don't know that we've ever seen something like this. Obviously, we've seen big conference realignment where leagues change significantly, but to see a huge brand, I mean, the Pac-12 brand is massive. to see it basically die, close to die, be on life support, and then come back. I mean, and certainly my time, I don't recall anything like that. Obviously, you know, like the SWAC died back in the day. Like, we've seen conferences go away, but to kind of go on life support and come back for such a big brand is super fascinating.
Yeah, it is. You know, Washington State and Oregon State holding together to try to make this thing work with just the two teams, and then, of course, to stay alive, they did the schedule merger with the Mountain West. We all know how that story ended up. But all of it really is a fascinating story. The fact that those two teams hung in there, kept it going, and now they've reloaded. When you're looking at this, you know, as far as the football side of things go, Kevin, who's the team to beat? You know, just based off of our July 9 conversation.
You know, I think you just have to go with Boise State because of what they did in the Mountain West, and, you know, almost have to. They get the benefit of the doubt, and everyone else has to prove it. I think, you know, I can't really argue a different way right now because they ran the Mountain West for so long, even though I would say several times in the last few years, I'll admit, I kind of looked at, you know, some of what they had and been like, you know, is this actually going to click? And they keep winning, you know, the Mountain West. So why not? You know, I think you have to say they're the favorite.
Yeah. And Boise, I mean, yeah, they've just been so consistent, you know, year in and year out. Their time in the Mountain West was amazing. And
we all saw it last year, you know, post-Ginty, you know, you still had a pretty young coach in Danielson, you know, relatively inexperienced, like, okay, what's going to happen? Well, guess what? They won the league. So you just have to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've earned it. And now it's on everyone else to change that and say, nah, you know, that was the Mountain West, you know, in the Pac-12, it's different, even though a lot of the teams are the same.
Where do you see CSU fitting in? We've talked about it before, but as we get closer to it, obviously we've got a lot to learn more about this team and what they're going to look like. I think every team in the country can say that, but I'm at this point, Kevin, where if we're talking about it, I have no idea. I'm excited about Jim Mora. I'm excited about the potential idea of, you know, mobile quarterbacks, fast quarterbacks, hot, nasty speed alerts, Kevin, all that. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm just, I at this stage, I'm just sitting back and watching. You tell me what I'm supposed to expect.
No, I think that uncertainty is super fair because of all the new players, because I think the league is pretty balanced. I don't think you have any clear, you know, kind of deadbeats that are terrible. And like I say, even though Boise should be a favorite, I don't think they're a clear juggernaut either. So I think that balance makes it really hard when you combine also all the newness. Most national, you know, kind of folks' projections have CSU either last or second to last. This is mostly just a bet on Jim Mora and his resume. I don't think CSU is finishing at the bottom there. I'd say more middle is most likely. But I could kind of argue just about every scenario because of all the uncertainty.
And that's the thing. That's why, again, the Pac-12 is interesting, but seeing what CSU really does with a new coach, new philosophy, all a lot of change for this football program.
Yeah, it really is. It's I need to add it up. I have some like 70 new players in addition to all the new coaches, new turf at Canvas Stadium. I mean, it's all happening. So, yeah, it's just a huge offseason of change.
I can't wait, man. I'm really – this is – I've been excited about CSU in the past, but this with the new conference with Jim Mora, there's a lot more excitement surrounding this upcoming season than maybe he's been there in a while for Colorado State.
Yeah, I think when you also throw in, you know, the first game being Border War, third game is BYU. I mean, you just have a huge September. And, you know, obviously everyone always gets optimistic in the offseason, but I think all those changes, the new league, it's just going to make an even greater fever pitch heading into that first game, and especially it being the Border War. And that's going to be such a unique week one for CSU and CSU fans, as well as Wyoming and their fans as well. So I think months from now, people are really going to be buzzing.
Yeah, we're not that far away from this Border War. And you know, Kevin, the Border War is going to have a little bit more juice to it, I think, this year. Because, you know, you have your Wyoming fans that are like, oh, you think you're too good for us leaving and going to the Pac-12. I think it's going to be a lot. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, there's that. And then, obviously, just for either team, it's such a tone setter. Obviously, that game's always big. But being week one, you know, whoever loses it, you know, I don't want to say they're reeling, but, you know, their fan base is pretty mad and concerned. Whereas whoever wins it is feeling like, oh, yeah, this is the year. You know, everything's clicking. So it's, you know, we're going to get – we always get week one overreactions, but holy cow, the week one overreactions are going to be crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's fun. It's exciting to think about, you know, actual games, not media days.
Media days or, you know, the business, the Sorsbys, all that, the conference realignment, the whatever abbreviation it is for the Save the World Act or whatever it is. I'm ready to just talk about, you know, a quarterback throwing a 20-yard touchdown or something like that.
Totally. I think CSU fans would love to see a quarterback throw a 20-yard touchdown. I'm not sure when the last time that happened. A little bit tongue-in-cheek there.
Well, how about the quarterback thing? Is it going to be Haas Haney? I mean, again, I know we don't know anything yet, and we'll get that closer, but we have a true quarterback competition going on for CSU.
Yeah, I mean, I keep saying if I had to guess today, most likely I'd say it's Haas Haney, just because of his, whatever, resume is probably the wrong word because he's only played in like two games in college, but his potential, I guess. But I think it's going to be a really interesting camp. I think it's a real competition. It sure looked like it in spring.
Yeah, we'll see, man. Hey, when does fall camp start up yet? Do you have any dates for us yet?
I haven't got like an official schedule or anything, but everything I've heard is pretty much right around that August 1. So yeah, we're about 3 weeks out from camp and everything starting, which is kind of wild to think about.
Yeah, we're about a month or so away from recharging Rams Weekly again. I'm assuming we're good.
Absolutely. Well, you know, get in touch with my people. We'll work on some numbers and, you know, see what we come up with. But yeah, super excited for that. I think we're going to have a heck of a lot to talk about leading up to and in this season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Kevin. Always appreciate you, bro, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle of the Coloradoan. Yeah, I think, you know, and again, I think it would have been good to have the media day. I do. But I'm also, it is what it is, I guess. I'm not that concerned that they're not having it. I don't think it means that it's off to a bad start for the Pac-12 or anything like that. But I think it would have been better to have it, especially this year. But I also get Kevin's point of, you know, hey, it's not vital to have this thing. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break here. Coming up in the second hour, we got top stories of the day. And the Rockies are still losing games, Mike. But you're blind and you're not paying attention if you don't feel that this team is doing something different. We'll be right back.
No parades.
No! No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Want to shout out to the Fort Collins Foxes, great sponsor of ours here on the whole show. Foxes are a collegiate summer baseball team. Players come from all over the world to Fort Collins to spend their summer to entertain the people of Northern Colorado. It's high-level baseball, and it is a fun environment. You know, get the kids out there, check out the Foxes, find tickets and information at fortcollinsfoxes.com. And, get there before the season ends. The season ends in July, and we got playoffs and all that stuff, too. But you got to get there. And I want to hear from you, Hooligans, when you go out there. Let me know how it is. FortCollinsFoxes.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Coming up later, we had Sean Keeler on the show yesterday, Keeling Me Softly. He writes the story. And I have a rethought. Is that a word? A rethought? Can we make it a word?
I think we should make it a word.
Yeah, a rethought is where I had a take on something, and then I rethought, and now I've got a rethought of it. Is
all
that...
right, I just contacted Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, and they're good. Will put it in.
Okay, so I had a rethought on this. Keeler writes, CU Buffs quarterback Julian Lewis, freeballing is a terrible look for Deion Sanders and Pat Shurmur. Now, I want to say, I tend to still kind of believe Julian Lewis saying that, hey, I'm actually looking at defense this year. We were just kind of running around last year. I still kind of think that's a bad look for Coach Prime. But I want to get to my rethought on this. Also, more on LeBron James not becoming a Denver Nugget. Thank you. Am I the only media member that does a sports talk show that was not for this? Because I'm not a conformist, Michael. I am my own person.
Brady, I am also a media member who half does a show.
You are not a media member.
I was not for it.
Yeah, and I agree. I appreciate the backing, and you and I have been getting along really well this week. But you're not a media member. You went to one
media
event. Because you went to Broncos training camp and fanboyed out for about 3 hours, didn't even ask a question, you still have your credential, and you think that makes you a media member.
No, the fact that I co-host this show.
You do not co-host the show. That doesn't, no. No, that's fine. You're going to conduct the next interview we do. How about that? Next person we bring on, you get to interview him. You good with that? About time you got the music going.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been, sorry.
A lot of stuff happening.
Sorry, it's been one of those days. But we have our best minds on it. The station is fixed. You can hear us again. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.